It is good to see all of you here this morning. Appreciate your presence, certainly. You know, Christ was the most unselfish person has ever lived. And we are to possess the mind of Christ in everything that we do. And of course, we know that Christ left us an example for this. You were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So Christ left us an example, and we are to follow in those steps of Jesus. But how do we go about doing that? And what are some of the ways that we have to have the mind of Christ? One of the first things that I want us to look at this morning is the mind of Christ is his love that he had for others. His love was shown, of course, that he, in the second chapter of Philippians, beginning in verse 1. Let's see. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. In verse 5, it goes on to say, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and is also... But one of the things that we noted there in the second chapter of Philippians, how that Jesus emptied himself. A lot of people have the idea that, well, he emptied himself of deity. There's no such thing as that. He emptied himself, what? From what? Equality. He was equal. All three members of the Godhead were all the same. But because of the plan of salvation, Christ humbled himself. The Holy Spirit also humbled himself. We see Christ, or Jesus, being emptied and humbled, it says. He was the one who came to this earth, who had been with God, and now was on the earth. And he emptied himself, or that is, he emptied himself of that quality of being divine. I'm sorry, not that way, is it? He emptied himself of equality, and that's all. No further things there for people, but and yet people will try to use these verses to promote various things that are all in contrary to the Word of God. John 3, verse 16, we're all familiar with that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world. Christ loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave himself. He came to... The Father gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him should not perish, not will not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, you know, we are to have the mind of Christ, and that involves loving one another. As members of the body of Christ, we are to love one another. We also to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're to love our enemies. A lot of people have difficulty with that as well. They'll ask the same question that was asked to Jesus. Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus talked then about the Samaritan. But having love is defined to an extent as genuine concern. If we don't follow Christ and his example that he set for us, loving others, showing concern for their lost souls, then if we have we need to change our attitude to try to be more like Christ or Christ-like. We also see, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning verse 43, or really verse 45, it says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on... That's a duplicate, isn't it? Yes. But another thing about the mind, having the mind of Christ, is his sufferings. Be good to take the time to read Isaiah 53, where Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, prophesied about the sufferings that he would go through there. Let's see. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 3. Matthew 9, verse 3 says, and at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. There are several places in the New Testament, in the gospel accounts, where Jesus was accused of blasphemy. But then when we turn over to John chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So we have those things, and then see... John chapter 5, there, back in verse 16, begin reading, it says, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. So they were just a lot of accusations about Jesus being a blasphemer. He cast out demons. They never questioned his miracles. But when he cast out demons, they said he did it by the power of Beelzebub. And, of course, there are many other times in the New Testament where we see Jesus and his example that he set, but also the sufferings that he went through. And so the Jews rejected him because of what he taught in regard to the kingdom that was coming. It was going to be a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. That cemetery across the Kidron Valley, where for centuries people have sought to be buried there, and then when during the course of time and different conflicts, warring conflicts, that whole hillside, nothing but tombstones, all of them desecrated, turned over, broken, all kinds of things like that. But in the end, they crucified him on that cruel cross of Calvary. And maybe we ought to just be reminded of that, the few things there. When Jesus was on the cross, his attitude is seen there regarding these people that were crucifying him. In John 19, it talks there about Jesus only showing concern for his mother's sake, or mother's welfare. And he pointed John out to behold your mother. The thieves started out mocking him. But one of them must have repented, because he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus told him then, or responded, saying, today you shall be with me in paradise. So then Jesus asked the Father concerning those who were crucifying him. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the child of God needs to expect to be persecuted. And the persecution can take many forms, even today, apart from being stoned or martyred some way. But a child of God is to suffer persecution. I don't know if I can find it or not. Not that way. I can't find it. I'm sorry. What we have to be afraid of in this life is not being martyred, but by falling victim to Satan and his kingdom, be led astray that way. Revelation 2:10 tells us the church there at Smyrna that there were some who had held to the doctrine of Balaam, but then admonishes to them in verse 10 to be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So we see his example that he set, his love for others. We also see his sufferings. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in, or deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, and who himself bore our sins is in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So we see he continues to look at his suffering that he went through just for us. And he admonishes us also in 1 Peter that we're not to be ashamed of him at all. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 says, But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. For the time has now come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what shall be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So we have his sufferings. Even as a child of God, we should expect to be persecuted in some way. Right now, we're living in a country that's has some laws concerning various things of our everyday life, and to a great extent, we're free from persecution. That is, in a violent way, but we're not to be afraid. In fact, we can rejoice in the persecutions that we must endure from time to time. And then it says that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And we've already read 1 Peter chapter 2. But there we read that he did no sin. Christ is the only perfect example of obedience and living for God. There was no guile found in his mouth, one version says. He never spoke evil of any man and condemned those who did. He loved his enemies. And that's something that's very hard to do. Some will get try to go there and try as they will to reduce these things down to things that can apply to everyone. But he loves his enemies. And he did not want us to go against his teaching, certainly. When he was reviled, it says, he did not revile in return. He rebuked anger. He taught man to bridle his tongue in James chapter 3. And when he suffered, he was mistreated oftentimes in different ways. Sometimes they would take up stones to stone him. They, of course, convened the Sanhedrin Council at other times. But the crucifixion, death on the cross, was one of the greatest types of suffering that's known to man. Even today, it's recognized as being a horribly cruel death. And remember, Jesus was not a weakling. He was meek, strength under control. And he did that. He could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him. He didn't do that because it was God's will that he come to the earth and die, that our sins, yours and mine, even today, can be forgiven. He bore our sins on the cross. And that blood is available to each and every one of us today. We are to be crucified with Christ and have the same attitude that he had, that we strive to live an exemplary life like Jesus did. No, we will never be perfect, but we can try as hard as we can to be more like him every day in every relationship. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But notice it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. How does Christ live inside a person? We have a lot of religious folks today that are trying to explain that, as well as a number of other things. But some taking the position almost of just getting a pinch of your flesh and eating it. That's not what it's talking about. The Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus Christ is in us. But how? He's in us by faith. And those that would teach otherwise are simply false teachers and teaching false doctrine. Paul strove to have the same mind of Christ. And whenever we live that way, well, then we know we can be pleasing to God in all of that. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. What kind of an attitude do we have toward God? Jesus Christ, His sufferings, His example, His love for others, all of those things. Are we like that? And are we striving to be more like that every day of our lives? Just we live for Him each day. But the answers are all found in the gospel as far as the example that Christ set. Of course, we have a lot of passages outside of the gospels that encourage the same kind of thing. So we need to shake off the corruption that creeps into our life and tries to fill our minds, at least from time to time, and start displaying the exemplary life that Christ lived. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one as we stand and sing the song that's been selected. Come with faith, repent of your sins, confess Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins.